Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and I'm so glad for you to join me today. I have a wonderful show, and I am very excited to welcome Gwen Shotwell to the program. She is, according to Forbes, one of the most powerful women in the world. She is the president and CEO of SpaceX, which is the commercial space exploration company founded by Elon Musk. And she's going to come on the show today and share with us her company's mission to travel the solar system and to be able to have humans live on other planets, which is a huge goal, I think. And of course, their immediate challenge is Mars. They're focusing on Mars and figuring out how we can habitat Mars. But what their focus is really on is space travel. How can we get from point A to point B? Obviously, we're not going to be able to do anything unless we can travel. So they're kind of like the cars, you know. We can't get across country unless we have a car, or the airplanes. They're trying to build a fleet of airplanes kind of thing, except they're spaceships. And how do we get there and back? And they have done a lot of firsts. Their company is leading the way in space exploration and innovation. They were the first ones to be able to bring a rocket up to the atmosphere and back. Before that, everybody's been throwing those things away. So they've been doing a lot of firsts, and we'll talk about that. And the other thing we're going to talk about is their working relationship with NASA and the U.S. military and what their role is in the future. It's pretty interesting. And you know, the stars have been fascinating to us forever, and it captivates our imaginations, the ability to go out into the solar system and beyond. And, you know, we talk about intergalactic travel a little bit as well, just to get our imaginations going. But if we did this, it would undoubtedly bring advances in everything from alternative forms of energy to advanced communications. It's an explosion of advancements and innovation, just like when NASA did that. There was an explosion of innovation, and we're having that now. Well, we're seeing that in every field now, and I think the internet has something to do with that. And we're on a second renaissance right now. It's just an amazing time to be alive, and this is an example of the second renaissance and what we're doing and how we're getting to a new level. But you know, for humans to venture beyond Earth, it will allow us to utilize the vast resources and land that exists out of our solar system. We're not going to run out of space if we can go all, you know, throughout the galaxy. There's lots of land out there if we can have, you know, if we can live on it. And the other thing that would be really important for us to get out into space and be able to live on other planets is the insurance that it would bring us. If the human race has an extinction level event, like an asteroid collision, or God forbid we do something stupid and we have a man-made disaster, then the human race is protected long term. So that's another one of the reasons why people are shooting for the stars and trying to get us to live on different planets. It's pretty incredible. The other thing that I did during this interview is I had a local high school, Visitation High School, a science class. They have a wonderful STEM program. And the science teacher worked with the kids, and they all came up with Dr. Levin. They all came up with questions on what we should be asking Gwen Shotwell. And it was a really fun experience for them. And so I asked some other questions during this interview as well. So that's interesting, and that's coming up here too. So now I'm going to welcome Gwen Shotwell to the program. Hi, Gwen. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's really nice to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to have you because SpaceX is just an exciting company. You are doing so many firsts in the industry, and it's kind of the future of what we're doing with, I don't know, the human race almost. And so one of your goals, SpaceX goals, is to enable people to live on other planets. When do you think you will reach that goal, and what do you think needs to be done to get to that reality?
So, yeah, there's no question. The company was founded ultimately to build space transportation systems that will allow people to live on other planets. You know, our site right now is on Mars. It's the closest planet to Earth that is kind of sort of habitable. Elon Musk, my boss, has stated that Mars is a fixer-upper planet. I think one of the funniest things he said. It's a fixer-upper planet. There's a lot of work to do, but it's the closest that we think we can get to from Earth, and actually have settlements there. So the time frame, hard to project. 15 or so years is certainly what we're shooting for, and we'll be sending lots of missions to Mars prior to that. And you ask, so what's necessary? I think one of the key enabling technologies is that we have to get right is the whole concept of reusability. And,
be more of a business, take more of a business approach to it and be able to cut costs and be able to reuse everything. Is that more the concept?
There's no question that reusability will help out on the business side, but pragmatically from a technical perspective, if you don't have the ability to come back, meaning reuse your systems, then you are by definition sending people on a one-way trip to Mars, and that's not what we're about. We want to make the trip there and back.
So they feel good about the ship that they're in is going to allow them to come back. It's not like see you later.
Correct. That's exactly right. And if for some reason you get to Mars and you don't like it, the return trip is actually free because we got to bring that ship back so that we can take the next step.
And so you see this as something that will be more tourist-based?
Not really, actually. SpaceX is not in the tourism business. There are other folks that are looking at that. I'm not saying that we wouldn't end up doing tourism or working tourism at some point, but it's certainly not our focus. We're much more focused on building reliable transportation systems that will get people really to move, to have settlements on Mars.
Well, you kind of need the foundation.
I don't think that's really tourism.
But you kind of need the foundation first, right? You can't do the other stuff until you get a real good working process for it.
That's correct.
So you have another goal, which is to revolutionize space technology. How do you think you're doing that?
Well, I think the hardest thing that you can possibly do in this arena is build space transportation systems that are reliable enough and reusable to be able to facilitate this kind of transporting folks to Mars. So the two goals are really so closely linked. So the technology that needs to occur for sure is reusable, and hopefully some of your audience has seen the landing video. We landed the first stage after we launched the Orbcomm, 11 Orbcomm satellites last December. I think it was December 21st.
You're the first one.
We were the first one to send an orbital, that's right, an orbital, basically an orbital capable ship and return back to Earth. That was the first time. Which was really exciting. And then our most recent launch, the Jason 3 launch out of Vandenberg Air Force Base here in California, we did actually land that stage again on the drone ship. Unfortunately, the leg didn't lock, and so we fell over, and that makes for some interesting video footage as well. So there's two pretty cool videos out there, I think on either YouTube or even our homepage. Where you can see these videos and even others. We've had landing attempts before But the 21st was the first time we got it on land. And then the most recent one for Jason 3, I'm taking credit for a landing because we did land. It was pretty much a bullseye landing on the drone ship. We just fell over after we landed.
Well, that's good. I mean, but that's part of the process, right? Each step you have to work out a new problem. And
no, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, some look at it and refer to those missions as failures. And, this is such a hard job that to me, they're all successes, you know.
Well, yeah, you just learn.
Full reusability.
Well, that's part of.
You have to learn.
You have to learn. And so you learn. And it's better to happen now. And you write the more you can figure out. It's always a sequence of steps. So.
Exactly.
Your company has been first in so many areas, like these reusable rockets. What other firsts have you accomplished?
So we were the first company to send a Dragon ship or Dragon-like ship into orbit and bring it back. That was the first private company. We did that in December of 2010. The Dragon spaceship is kind of the foundation technology that we use to service the International Space Station with initially cargo. You know, we're sending food and science experiments up to the International Space Station using a Falcon 9 and a Dragon. And now we're in the process of upgrading that Dragon spaceship to be able to take American astronauts and other International Space Station crew. So SpaceX was the first private company to be able to orbit and return to Earth a spacecraft like that. So Europe had done it, actually the space shuttle, so governments had done it. So space shuttle had done it, the Russians do it with the Soyuz, the Chinese have done it with their technology, but we were the first private company to do it.
Which is amazing. And that's kind of where things are leading, with private companies doing much more of the work. Do you think the Martian movie was part of getting people excited to colonize Mars, to start thinking in that direction?
I think that, by the way, the book is extraordinary as well. I read the book, I don't know, a couple years ago. It's hilarious. It's really funny. There's some foul language in it, so for those that get offended by
it's funny.
It's not recommended. But it's a hilarious book. And I think the movie actually was pretty good. I think it did the book pretty good justice, I think. And given the response to that film, I think a lot of people are starting to get excited about the possibility of living on other planets.
You are listening to Business Game Changers, and we need to take a short station break.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more and visit allergyasthmanetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network. Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and we are talking with Gwen Shotwell, the president of and CEO of SpaceX, which is the space exploration company founded by Elon Musk. And she is sharing with us a lot of cool stuff. So let's get that interview going again.
There have been lots of shows that you know, you'd think would get people excited about space travel, and I think certainly have. Star Trek, obviously, is a classic. Battlestar Galactica is one of my favorites, the new one, not the old one.
Yeah.
And I love the Firefly series. Such fun shows, lots of human drama and personalities, but the technology is cool.
Like, yes.
I think it's really, I can't wait to be able to travel in space.
Oh, it'd just be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. It's just amazing. Well, you have one of the most exciting posts in general, being president of SpaceX, doing so many firsts and kind of leading the way. What is your background getting you to this point?
So I'm an engineer. I got both my bachelor's degree and master's degree at Northwestern University in the Chicago area. I grew up in the Chicago area. So my undergraduate degree is mechanical engineering. My master's degree is applied math. And I actually started out my career as an engineer in Detroit, working for the automotive industry, but decided that I would move west to California and have been in the aerospace industry for a long time, almost since dinosaurs roamed the earth. 1988.
That's how you feel, right?
As my kids would say. Yeah, so I've been in this industry since 1988 and have had a number of different roles at a number of different companies. But I've been at SpaceX since 2002, a long time ago.
When did it launch, SpaceX?
So the company was founded, I believe, in March of 2002.
Okay.
Doors kind of opened in May timeframe, and I joined in, I think, in August.
So you were one of the first executives to come on board. Mm-hmm. When they kind of need someone to lead the ship first.
I have a boss. So
yeah.
My boss led the ship.
Oh,
well,
yes.
I was hired in actually as vice president of business development, which is basically a sales post. I had a lot of connections in the industry. And I was hired in to head up the sales activity and then just kept acquiring other things to do here at SpaceX. Pretty typical of a startup, actually.
And then ended up getting promoted to do what you're doing now.
Correct. Yeah, 2008.
Well, how involved is Elon Musk in the company on a day-to-day level?
He's very involved. He basically runs and directs all the development activities here at the company. I tend to focus on the day-to-day operations, but he focuses on the visionary and, like I say, the future product development. He's at SpaceX at least 3 days a week. He's also CEO of Tesla, and he spends some time with Tesla as well. But he's heavily engaged. Actually,
how could you not be? How could you not be heavily engaged in something as exciting as this? I mean, you know, I don't know. That's me. But
I love my job. I have a great job. I think I have a better job than Elon, but he has many jobs. many jobs, actually.
Yeah, sometimes just being able to focus and not be in a fishbowl is a little more fun. So I have a special treat. My daughter's science class, she goes to Visitation High School in Minnesota, and they have a wonderful STEM program there. And it's a girl science class, and their teacher, Dr. John Lowen, had them do an assignment because they knew that I was going to be interviewing you. And they had the whole class come up with questions set for me to ask you. And so I picked out three questions from their class, and I'm going to ask you them. And so their first
fabulous
question. Yeah, so I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, of course. Sure.
Okay, so what are the plans for the future of SpaceX?
So we are aiming to build a highly reliable, highly reusable, and cost-effective way to move people from planet Earth to Mars and then eventually other locations.
Like asteroids and different moons?
Possibly.
Or outside of our solar system even?
It will. That's further out, but for sure. You know, once we master getting people from Earth to Mars and back, we'll have to come up with something even more innovative. Yeah, I spoke about a year or so ago to NPR, to someone on NPR, and talking about intergalactic travel.
That would be the future plan,
right? That's pretty far out, but that's still cool stuff to think about.
Well, yeah, and you have to come up with different technologies to be able to get there in a reasonable amount of time, I would think, and there's other issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you believe there is a future in space tourism?
I do think so. It's not something that SpaceX is focused on. You know, I like any enterprise that's going to get people thinking about space and the things you can do in space. I think it's critically important that you demonstrate high reliability before you embark on involving the general public in space activities. There's a lot of work to go. Just like you have test pilots that understand, you know, the nature and risks involved in their jobs before you put the public on an airplane, on a new airplane.
Well, so, you're pretty much, you know, you're the airplane and the vehicles for space, right? And so they have to get that first before tourism could happen.
Most definitely. It's got to be right. And it's funny, we do kind of look at our business and benchmark what we're doing against the airline industry. They're large vehicles, pretty high technology that are crew rated. You know, they're moving people from between great distances in some case. Now, obviously, we're going to have to leave Mother Earth and get outside the atmosphere and travel to another planet and then land on another planet. Those things are all very difficult to do. But we do like to use the airline analogy for the work that we're doing. Because right now, people, you know, when you get on an airplane, you leave LA, you go to New York City, you don't throw that airplane out when you land in New York.
You don't throw it out.
Yes. You don't throw it out. You don't toss the aircraft because otherwise people wouldn't be flying.
It's absurd, right? That's an absurd.
It's absurd.
But that's what we're doing.
Right now,
rockets
aren't really reusable, and that's why we're so focused on it.
So next question, our last question here, is space, and it's a couple-part question, is space exploration and space science a growing industry? And what is the potential for job growth? And is this field to look into for the future career path for people interested in science and the STEM, you know, careers and other fields too, I guess?
So there's no question that the focus on space and technology that will be applicable to space projects is growing rapidly. I think venture capital in entrepreneurial space-focused businesses are growing, you know, thousands of percentages. So it is absolutely a great career path, I think. And you don't have to be an aerospace engineer to work on space-related projects. You know, I'm a mechanical engineer. We have chemical engineers working on our propulsion systems. We have electrical engineers and software engineers working on our systems as well. I mean, you know, think about, I love software engineering. I think it's really cool. My son is a great gamer. And I think writing software for games is great, but can you imagine writing software, and developing display systems for the, you know, the first spaceships that take people to Mars? I think that's pretty exciting.
Oh, that would be, well, but there's so many similarities to writing computer games as to writing any kind of, you know, any kind of software, and especially I would think with the stuff in space. My background is computer science. I have an engineering degree in computer science, and I just know that there's so many similarities to the 3D simulations and everything that you do in games to, you know, real world stuff.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Since we have a little bit more time, I'm going to ask another question that they have here. How do you decide what to research and explore?
So we definitely take a building block approach to what we're doing. We started with, you know, a little rocket called Falcon 1 with one engine on the back, and now we're moving to, or we've been launching Falcon 9, which is a rocket with 9 engines on the back end of the first stage. So the fact that we're taking this incremental approach to building systems that are capable enough to get to Mars, we don't necessarily have to set, we didn't set out in 2002 when we were founded knowing exactly what technologies we were going to focus on. We knew propulsion systems were going to be incredibly important, and much of the focus early on was on liquid oxygen and RP, which is rocket propellant. It's like a high-grade kerosene. So we focused on propulsion technologies. At that time, almost all the new technology being developed in propulsion was outside of the United States. And frankly, I think we brought excitement back and in the liquid propulsion arena. I think we're the largest producers of liquid engines on the planet, actually. Yeah. So basically, I think this is a really long-winded way of saying, because of our incremental building block approach, we've been able to assess what technology we need to focus on, and then go after it, achieve a vehicle that has a market. We can basically make money from launching that vehicle and having that launch service, and then looking at the next thing that we need to do. So reusability is key. I can't overstress how important it is to make sure our rockets and spaceships are reusable.
We have to take a short station break. We'll be back in a moment.
The 24th annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. This February 11th through the 15th. Go to thewowconference.org. That's thewowconference.org.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers, and we are talking with Gwen Shotwell, and we will get that interview going again right now.
And so you have to look at, you know, lightweight materials, you have to look at new guidance algorithms and the software associated with implementing those algorithms so that you can land a rocket on a ship or on the target at our landing zones right near our launch sites. I think future technology obviously will be continue to miniaturize avionics in this industry. Like, you know, an iPhone is an incredibly capable device, and yet the electronics that we fly today on rockets is I think much behind that. So there's technology to be developed there, lots of software to write. There's a lot, let's put it this way, there's almost nothing that doesn't need advanced technology development to do what we're trying to do. So
we could have
lots of opportunity for careers.
Months and months to talk about this, that one question. So, I'm going to move on to some other questions, which I think is pretty important. When you hear, you know, all these private companies starting up, and especially one like SpaceX, what is the future of NASA, and how does NASA fit into this whole picture?
Yeah, so NASA has been an extraordinary both partner to SpaceX as well as customer. They're our largest customer. So basically, NASA is looking at and will focus on space exploration and deep space exploration. And what they're trying to do is cut away from the – it's called the recurring or the nominal operations associated with getting from Earth to the International Space Station. I don't want to call it the easy stuff because it's certainly not easy, but it's more routine. So they want to, you know, hand over to private industry the more routine elements so that they can focus their resources on deep space exploration as well as figuring out how to live on other planets as well.
So they're still doing all that exploration, but has NASA been split from the military? Because isn't there the Air Force has gotten really involved in this as well, and so it's like two different brands. And I don't know how much you're involved in that, but I was watching a 60 Minutes episode, and they had the military has a space airplane.
which I thought was really interesting.
So the military does do a lot of activities in space. In fact, I think their space budget, the military space budget, is larger than the NASA budget. And they do some similar things, but with different purposes. You know, NASA sends probes and landers to Mars to see whether there was life there. And the Air Force puts satellites in orbit to, you know, keep track of what's going on around the globe, predict weather. NASA also does some weather satellites as well, space weather as well as Earth weather. As a matter of fact, the JSON-3 satellite that we just launched for NASA was kind of ocean monitoring.
So it's more of a military focus versus an exploration, advancement of humanity focus.
Science focused, right?
Yeah.
The Air Force is not in the business of science, whereas NASA is, and then Air Force is obviously more in the business of defense.
Sure. Although you have to be involved in science because I would think, you know, the military obviously has to be involved in science to figure things out, but not in the advancements of figuring out life and things like that.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And their space airplane, and I didn't add these to questions that I was going to ask you, but now I'm thinking of some of these things. Their space airplane that they had that I saw in 60 Minutes, is that something that more like what you guys are going to be doing too? Because I would assume they ship that up and then they can fly around in space with it, but it's not like a rocket that can come back and forth. Do you have space airplanes and things too, like in the mix that you're going to be developing?
So Dragon is a spaceship. I wouldn't call it a space airplane, but it's for sure a spaceship.
That's a better term for it.
Yeah. And we will be building bigger spaceships because the Dragon is more like an SUV-sized spaceship. And I think if you were going to Mars, you'd want a much larger.
You want a big semi truck
in an SUV
or a train.
You want a giant. you want something much larger. We're definitely in the business of building spaceships.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's exciting. You're in the Star Trek business. You're the
ultimately,
beginning of Star
yes.
Trek.
Yes, we've got a long way to go before we can go warp speed and find wormholes. But yeah, it's certainly fun to think about.
Well, have you looked at any of the? I had a show that I did earlier with some scientists from the University of Colorado. They have a great physics department there. And they're looking at the zero-point energy field, and they have the ability to actually create batteries now from the zero-point energy field. And they are developing it, and it's really promising. And so are you looking at some of that stuff?
Could you repeat that?
I have a show. I did a show with the scientists at the University of Colorado on the zero point energy field. You know, they have this, it's an indirect way to get energy through the, you know, how the LED, you have to listen to my show to really get, you know, the technology behind it because do it quickly. It's not going to work for listeners here, but basically they can indirectly tap into the zero point energy field by lowering the energy level of electrons, and then the energy field zaps them back up to full strength. They slow them down and then it speeds it up, and then they keep doing that and keep pulling energy from the zero point energy field with that. And they were talking to NASA a little bit about using, because it will last forever. These batteries that they're looking at will last forever, and they're very lightweight, and they were looking at them for doing batteries and maybe some of the space probes and things that go out. And I was wondering if you're looking at some of that stuff.
We're not. But I'm going to go look it up because it sounds super interesting.
It's really great. You got to listen to my show, and then you can, and if you have any questions, I can direct you to some of those people. But I was so excited for that show. Very interesting. But, okay, let's get on to something that's really funny now, because this is something that came out this past Sunday, X-Files came out, right? And it was they had the highest ratings ever, and I've always been a fan of X-Files, and I'm sure almost everybody in science watches shows like this. And first of all, are you a fan of it?
I've never watched the X-Files.
You haven't? Oh, you would probably. If you like Star Trek, if you like Star Trek and stuff, I bet you would like the X-Files.
I do like Star Trek, and I love Battlestar Galactica, and I love Firefly. I've never seen X-Files.
I bet you would like it. Well, the X-Files show is they're kind of into, they're kind of into government conspiracies, but they're also into like aliens and space things and stuff. And so I wanted to know what you thought about that. Like it being so popular.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm disappointing you. I'm super sorry. I've never seen it, but you know, maybe I'll watch one.
Well, the interesting thing, probably more broad than that, is there's so many with the internet and stuff. There's been this huge, more of an interest in space, I think, and this whole idea of like life outside and other worlds and more of a fascinating, you know, thing on that. And so what do you think about all that? You know, all the, I don't know if you follow that, but, you know, the fact that there's just so much more talk and buzz about it. And with the X-Files, they were even talking about the government. You know, there was government projects that looked into, and they talked about it in the X-Files. That was the whole opening about how the government looked into, you know, life on other planets and stuff. And I'm just curious of keeping it light, what you thought about that.
So I am a firm believer that, well, first of all, I am not so arrogant to think that the only life in the universe is here on Earth. I do believe that there is life on other planets. I'm not convinced that they've been here and visited Earth. I'm not necessarily in that camp. I'll remain open-minded, but I'm pretty convinced that there is life on other in other solar systems.
Well, there would almost have to be, right? With how many? Well, we're a galaxy, kind of in the boondocks of the universe. I mean, we're way out there. And if there are other, and we're not even that big of a deal in our own galaxy, it's kind of a far out solar system, right? In our own galaxy, or our own, galaxy. And there's so many other galaxies. So you would think that the ones that were formed a while ago would have life that, I mean, there would probably be life everywhere, all over the place. And ones that were formed a while ago would have really advanced life, you would think.
I'm pretty sure we're not the most advanced life forms in the universe. Yeah.
It would have to be that way, I would think.
If you just think about things pragmatically, I agree with you.
You are listening to Business Game Changers, and we need to take a short station break.
Want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Shine On Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and we are talking to the fabulous Gwen Shotwell. And before we get into that interview again, I want to remind you that you can go to sarahwestall.com and hear all my past shows. And on this show as well, I'll have contact information so you can see more of SpaceX and what they're all about. And now we are going back to the interview with Gwen Shotwell.
Do you think that there's any truth to all that, the stuff that's out there now with all the, you know, what X-Files is based on? You know, I mean, they have so much stuff going around the internet. It's hard not to see it. You're probably so busy, but the YouTube has, and millions of people are watching all this stuff. And Pepsi did a commercial on something that, they did a commercial about the Black Knight satellite that is going around, and they said Tesla first observed this Black Knight satellite, and they said that what Pepsi put this out and said that it wasn't fiction, it's real. And so, you know, X-Files is fiction, right? It's going off into, it's using a lot of this space stuff and kind of going, taking it to an extreme, but there's more stuff out there, and especially with like Pepsi coming out and doing this commercial based on this Black Knight satellite that Tesla observed. Have you heard of this Black Knight satellite, and what is that?
You know, I've not heard of this, but you know, certainly Pepsi would want to leverage. If
oh, absolutely!
X-Files is one of the most popular shows, and Pepsi would certainly want to leverage that popularity.
Well, it's just weird because they're all claiming it's real, you know, and when Pepsi goes out there and says, this is real, this happened and Tesla observed it, it's like, oh, what is that? You know? So I had to ask you, I have to, when I have the president of SpaceX on an interview, I have to ask you those questions because my listeners will be like, why did you not ask her these questions? Are you an idiot?
Yeah, and you know, I think I even disappoint my children. I don't have much of a social life, and I don't have a lot of time to explore a lot of what's going on. But it sure sounds fascinating.
It's absolutely fascinating. I can send you I'll send you links to some of the stuff that's absolutely fascinating that I've been looking into. But how can people learn more about your company and follow its progress? And I mean, it's so fascinating what you do, and I think there'd be lots and lots of people that would be interested in just really tracking what you're doing and how things are working.
Sure. So we have a great website, SpaceX.com. We've got a Facebook page. We do, yeah, we definitely do tweets. We use our Twitter accounts to bring people up to speed on what we're doing. I think we're all over YouTube with our launches and our landings, both our successes and our lack of successes on that. So it's pretty easy to follow SpaceX. Like I say, our website, our Facebook, and our Twitter accounts are pretty active. And I love the videos. We actually just put out a video about 10 days ago on the landing, first time Falcon 9 landed. And it's a great video. I think it's on regular YouTube. It's on our website. And it's probably on our Facebook page, too. You probably get there on Facebook, too. I've seen that video probably 10 or 15 times, and I still get chills and goosebumps when I see that. So to start out and get a sense of what SpaceX is doing, I strongly recommend going and looking at that video. It's called Falcon 9, the landing of Falcon 9. Falcon 9 has landed.
Okay. Excellent. So people can see that. And who are your, NASA's your biggest customer, but who else are customers for you?
So yeah, NASA is our biggest customer. We have a lot of telecommunications firms that are customers: Iridium, SES, Inmarsat, Eutelsat, Asia Broadcast Satellite, AsiaSat, Thaicom. I'm going to miss a bunch here, but we've got customers all over the world. I think the next biggest market segment besides the work we're doing for NASA is the telecommunications industry.
Because you're putting up satellites all over, right? Because telecommunications now is communication via satellite with all the wireless communications and so forth. Even data, right? Data is starting to go through satellites a lot more.
Definitely. Yep.
Are there other?
And then we've got we flew the Discover mission for the U.S. Air Force, and as well as there was NOAA and NASA connection there. We've got a mission upcoming on our next size rocket called Falcon Heavy. We'll be launching the STP-2 satellite on that. Argentina has bought launches from us. German government has bought launches. Canada actually has bought launches. So international organizations have bought launches from us, as well as both U.S. domestic and international organization telecommunications firms.
Excellent. So your company is probably growing very quickly.
It is growing rapidly. Yep.
And you're just you're trying to keep up with it. Because I know when companies grow really quick, it's just, wow, there's like a swell of getting operations in place. And not just the technology is a big deal, but also doing all the details of making everything work is a lot of work.
Yeah. Rapid growth is hyper growth is very difficult to manage. Yeah, no question.
Hyper growth. Yeah, that's
super exciting, though.
Oh, it's the best thing to be part of.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I really appreciate that. And I'll put links on my website so people can know where to find out more about you. And I am going to send you some of those interesting things, like the zero-point energy field and some of the other things that I've been looking into.
Perfect. That would be great. I would love to see that.
Yeah, okay. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Gwen. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I really hope you enjoyed this interview that we did with Gwen Shotwell. And, you know, I have to say that I had to ask her about the aliens and UFOs. I mean, I'm talking to the president of SpaceX. She's going to know all these things. Obviously, if she knows it, she probably isn't going to tell me because it's not out there, and tell the whole audience and all of New York and Rhode Island and Connecticut. I don't think she's going to want that. But I did have to ask that because it is true there. It's a lot more out there and people are talking about it. You know, Carter said that he saw a UFO. President Reagan said he saw a UFO. Clinton said that was one of the first in his book. He said, that's what I want to see, is if the aliens are real. And back 50 years ago, 60 years ago, they talked about it a lot more openly. The X-Files, their last show was kind of goofballish and it makes everything seem stupid. However,
their first show showed a lot of government, real footage and real government footage of the presidents and different people talking about it. Back then, they were much more open about it. There's a lot more government, or there's a, quite a bit of government documents about things that they were going on and different programs and a lot of researchers that are looking into it. So at some point, people were really taking it seriously. Now everybody kind of, people are getting laughed at. Although, because so many people are talking about it now, people are coming out and talking about it more openly. Clinton actually brought it up that she wants to understand this more. So I think it's starting to get out there. The Tesla, the satellite, he really did claim to find a satellite back in the 1890s that orbited the Earth that is was communicating or was sending signals, which is very strange. And there is a short film done by Pepsi, of all companies, a very mass-oriented company. They did a short film about Tesla and the satellite, and it's very interesting. I'll put the link up there on the show description so that you can learn about this. But it's very fascinating. And, you know, what else is fascinating is all the building structures and stuff that we're finding in South Africa. And people are realizing that there's more to our past as well, advanced structures that they're finding that are way more advanced than, way older and way more advanced, 10,000 years old, and they're pretty detailed and advanced. And as we got, you know, closer in history, newer, the buildings became less advanced. And so there's something more to our history, and it's just a fascinating time to be alive. I mean, I really think we're in the second renaissance, like I said, and we're just in its explosion of things going on right now. And it's just fascinating. So I am very appreciative to Gwen Shotwell for joining us today, and I hope everyone out there has a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific Time. And learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.